Well, as we enter a new year, we kind of wonder what's coming, don't we? Now, we have experts who want to forecast the future, what the coming year may hold in store. But there's only one person who knows. That's God. Only God knows the future. He knows what's coming. Do you make New Year's resolutions? I used to, but I find out they go in one year and out the other. So I quit doing that. But James speaks of planning for the future in our text. If you'll go to James chapter 4, he speaks about the attitudes that we should have about the days that are before us. If you want to stand to honor God's word with me, we're going to look at James chapter 4, beginning with verse number 13. The Apostle James says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we'll go to such a city, continue there a year, and buy and sell, and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Amen. You may be seated. There is much uncertainty about the future. We really don't know what 2023 is going to hold in store for us. I hope it's the year Jesus comes back. That's what I'm hoping. But while we may not know what we face in the future, we should know how to face the future, knowing who holds tomorrow. The Bible says that the man who says there is no God is a fool. Now, there may be a bigger fool than that. That's the one who says he believes in God and then lives like God doesn't exist. He never has God at all in his thoughts or in his plans. Some say that's a practical atheist, to live as though God does not exist. So as we face a new year, let's look at what James says here about how to settle some things in our hearts, in our lives, maybe some resolutions we need to make about this coming year, how to approach it, how to assess and analyze our lives and what's coming. So if you want to take notes, first of all, James speaks of a life that forgets God. He talks about merchants, businessmen, making plans. The phrase "go to now," it's kind of like saying "come now" or "now look here." It implies a disapproval of what is about to be said. Verse 13 brings to mind two questions. What are the goals of my life? Do I have any goals? And how does God fit into that? That's the important question. The whole thing here is be careful about making plans or setting goals and leaving God out of your planning. Seek to know God's will concerning your plans for this year. First of all, think about how life must be assessed. We see the goals of these merchants that James talks about. Their goals are expressed in what they are saying about where they plan to go, how long they plan to stay there, even the profit they plan to make. So he planned a period, a year. He planned a place, a certain city. He planned a procedure to buy and sell, even planned a profit to get gain. Now, we would call this a model business plan, right? They've established a date to initiate their plan. They've chosen a place to carry out this plan. They've laid out a time frame to accomplish their plan. They've even identified and clarified their purpose to buy and sell and get gain. Now, you say, well, what's wrong with that? Nothing. There's nothing at all wrong with this. That's just wise business, to set goals and make plans. These planners are ambitious. They have certain objectives in their life. They know what they're doing. They know where they're going. They know what they want. And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing at all. What's wrong with this is they left God out. There's nothing here about praying about these things and seeking to know God's will about what they should do. So the whole point here is, as you make plans for this year, don't leave God out. Pray about it. Seek to know God's will concerning your plans for the future. I heard about a fella who was out of work, been out of work for quite a while, and he was depressed. One day he decided he was going to sit down and make a list of all the things he wanted to accomplish in his life. He writes out the list, and he's really excited about this. He shows it to his wife and says, these are the things I'm going to do everything on this list. She looked at it. She said, can I add one thing? She wrote down, get a job. That wasn't on his list. Get a job. Sometimes we forget the most important things. Now, here's a businessman. He's asking, what are my goals? That's common for businessmen. They set goals. A college student might ask, where should I go to college? What should I major in? What do I want to equip for the future? Others may be asking, what are my career goals? What do I want to be? Where do I want to go? Young couples may be asking, is this the year we can start a family and have a child? Is this the year we can buy a new house? Now, there's nothing wrong with these goals and these plans. Some are setting financial plans, maybe plans for retirement. Nothing wrong with that. But don't forget God. Pray about these things. Pray about where God wants you to go. He may have a place he wants you to go. About where God wants you to work, where God wants you to live. I remember when Betty and I moved into our house. We've been here 30 years now, I think. But I remember back then when we were trying to decide where to move and where to buy a house, I prayed about it. I said, God, I want you to move me into a neighborhood where we can be a witness. A neighborhood where we can maybe win some of our neighbors to the Lord. And I prayed that God would direct us in that direction. And I think that's wise. Because I'm a wise man, amen? That's a wise guy, you might say, okay. But pray about these things and seek God's will and God's direction. Make plans, set goals. Don't be boastful about your self-sufficiency, that you can do it all on your own. Consider the spiritual matters that might be involved here. That raises another important question concerning how life must be approached. After we assess it, how do we approach it? Now, the phrase go to, now, as I said, is kind of used in a way of disapproving what is being said or done. Now, James, is he disapproving the setting of goals? Is he disapproving the planning in life? No, he's disapproving the idea that we do this without God. That's what he's trying to get across. Always keep God in your thoughts, in your plans, in your prayers. Because there's nowhere here where God is mentioned, that God is brought into these plans, that God is prayed to concerning this. So some of you may be looking at this year, thinking, what am I going to do with this year? What do I want to be? What am I going to have? But be careful about the I, me. Where it's all about yourself. Without any thoughts of God or of others. Don't be like these merchants saying, we will go, we will do, we will stay. And God's not involved. There's nothing wrong with making plans. There's nothing wrong in trying to decide how best to use your life. But the best use of your life is going to come from God. Seek His will and His direction. There's nothing wrong with having things. There's nothing wrong with being successful. But make sure the Lord is not divorced from what you want to do in your plans. If God and His plans are not part of your plans, you need to reassess your plans. Amen. If God and His will cannot be part of what you want to do, then you need to change what you want to do. If God cannot be a part of your goals need to be altered. See, here's the thing. God is not to be just part of your life. Folks, God is to be preeminent in your life. Don't divorce God from, you say, well, I've got my sacred life when I come to church on Sunday. Then I've got my secular life Monday through Saturday. God's involved here, but not here. That's not good. God ought to be involved in everything you do. Every plan, every goal should include the Lord God. And don't be afraid to seek God's will. I know some people say, well, you know, preacher, I've got my plans, and if I ask God, He'll probably just mess up everything. Some people feel that way. They're afraid to seek God's will because God's will may be counter to what they want to do. Let me tell you this. The safest place in the world to be is in God's will. The happiest place to be is right in the center of God's will. Do you believe God loves you? Would not God's will for your life be for you to be happy and satisfied, content? God's not going to mess your life up if you seek His will. It's going to be the best thing that you can do. So what's James saying? He's saying that God is not to be left out of your daily decisions. He's not to be left out when you consider moving to another city. You ought to pray about it. When you consider taking a new job, you ought to pray about it. When you decide what school you want to go to, who to marry, you pray about that. All these things should involve God in making your decision. Let God open the doors where He wants you to go and be. So God is not to be left out in any of your plans for this year. Whatever and whenever, God should be a major factor in your plans and goals. So we're given a reason that we should not forget God in our planning. Secondly, think about this. He speaks of a life that faces God. Now, we think about this year and tomorrow, but James is even going further. He's thinking about the life to come. After this life is over, and those of us who are saved will go to be with God, we're going to stand before God, we're going to face God, and He's going to evaluate the life we've lived here and how much of God's will was accomplished in our life. Two things he mentions here. First of all, this life is not predictable. What does he say? Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. That's true, isn't it? We don't know what's coming. We can make our plans. We can set our goals. But in reality, we don't know what tomorrow holds. What can happen in the future? Now, there's nothing wrong with planning and preparing, provided you don't leave God out. Yet, we never know what curve life may throw at us, what will happen this year, how things are going to turn out. A person can be sailing calm seas today, not knowing a great storm is coming tomorrow. We don't know. We don't know. You may lose a job this year. You may face some marital problems, family problems, financial problems. All these things could come this year without you really being prepared for it. But God can help us prepare. By the way, don't assume you've got a year to waste. I want to talk to the young adults here. Don't think that because you're young, I've got plenty of time to serve to God later. I want to use this time this year pretty much to do what I want to do. I'll serve God later. You don't know if you've got a later. Seriously. So, Brother Weston, I get your age, I'll start serving God. No, that's bad planning. Start now. You don't have any time to waste on yourself, leaving God out of your life and out of your plans. Many young people say, well, I'm too busy. I've got too much going on to be faithful in God's services. If you're too busy to serve God, you're too busy. You need to drop some things and make room for God in the church in your life. Amen. You know, we're just a heartbeat from eternity. Somebody said the beating heart is like a drum beating a funeral march to the grave. We don't know how much time we've got. We don't know when we might die. I read somewhere, thousands this year will die of disease. Thousands will die by disaster. Thousands will die by decay, just growing old. And thousands will die by design, either your own or some other. Some take their life. Some have their life taken from them. So we don't know what may come. Every second, folks, another soul departs this life and goes into eternity. Now, I know some of you are thinking, that's right, preacher, you tell them. You tell them. They might die any day. Oh, not me. I'm going to live forever. You got it all figured out, don't you? I'm going to live to be 100. Have my will made out, kiss my grandchildren goodbye, go to bed, go to sleep, and wake up in heaven. That's a good plan. I like that myself. But we don't know if it's going to happen that way. We don't know what the future may hold. Go to Luke chapter 12 with me. Let me show you something Jesus said. Jesus gives a parable here in Luke chapter 12. Beginning with verse number 16. Luke 12:16. So Jesus spake a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. There will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God, a lot of verses begin, but God, don't they? We need to pay attention to those. But God said unto him, thou fool, thou fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall be these things which thou hast provided? For he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Oh, a lot of people live that way. They just think of themselves and don't think of any others. It's all about themselves. They never ask God what he wants them to do with what he has bestowed upon them. So life is not predictable. Would you agree with that? Secondly, life is not permanent. You're not going to be here forever. What is your life? He says, it's a vapor that appears for a little time, then vanishes away. Not only the uncertainty of life, there's also the brevity of life. He used the illustration of a vapor to describe what life is like. It's like a mist coming out of a tea kettle. It's just there for just a second and it's gone. Now compared to eternity, that's what life is like. It's here for just a brief moment. Now we don't know what tomorrow holds. And furthermore, we don't even know if we've got it tomorrow. We don't know that. That's why Solomon said in Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. In the book of Job, it says in Job 8:9, our days upon earth are a shadow. A shadow. Job 14:1-2. Man that is born of a woman is a few days full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and is cut down. He flees also as a shadow and continues not. There's many verses in the Bible that speak of this. We don't know how much time we have. I saw this I want to share with you. Somebody wrote this about what we're talking about. He said, when as a child I laughed and wept, and time crept. When as a youth I dreamed and talked, and time walked. I became a full-grown man, and time ran. When older I grew, time flew. Soon I shall find in passing on, time gone. Us old folks can appreciate that. Time speeds up the older you get. These kids, they just, you know, it's going to take forever to get to where they want to be. But as you get older, it seems like this year, 2022, boy, it went fast, didn't it? See, it just goes faster and faster. So we need to be careful. We need to be wise about what we do with the time we have. Now, I plan on being around tomorrow. I've got plans for this coming week. And I'm sure you do too. But we don't have a guarantee, do we? We don't have a guarantee of another day or another week. Death has made an appointment with each of us. The Bible says, Hebrews 9:27, that it's appointed unto men and women wants to die. It's a point, we're under an appointment with death. Death is, unless the Lord comes in a rapture, all of us are going to experience death one day. Maybe today. We don't know that this could be the last day some of us ever live. So, Brother West, I'm healthy. Healthy people die every day. Healthy people get run over by trucks. You know, health doesn't guarantee you're going to live a long life. Said, Brother West, I'm young. Young people die every day. Right. Amen. Amen. We don't know what tomorrow may bring. I heard about a young man who went to his pastor, and he was concerned about his neighbor. His neighbor was old and sickly and not saved. And asked his pastor, would you go by and talk to my neighbor and share the gospel with him? I'm afraid he doesn't have long to live. He could die any day. So the pastor went and talked to this man, and sure enough, he got saved. A few days later, the young man had just finished eating lunch with his wife. Getting up from the table, he grasped his chest and fell over dead. The old man lived another several years. The young man was worried about the old man. I'm going to tell you something. Young people, some of these old folks are going to outlive you. Amen? Some of these old folks you're worried about are going to outlive you. Because you don't have any guarantee of a tomorrow. Are you feeling blessed yet? I said, boy, I'm so glad I came here today. But these things we need to know. Amen? We need to think about these things. There is a life to come that we need to consider. We're going to stand before the Lord one day. and give an answer for how we live this life. The third thought I want to share with you, he speaks of a life that follows God. A life that follows God. He says that in verse 15, that we ought to seek to know God's will in what we do and how we plan. That he said you ought to say, if God will, we shall live and do this or that. If God wills. Lord will. My dad, that was one of his favorite sayings. My dad was a pastor. And one of his favorite sayings was, I'm going to do this or that, Lord willing. Or Lord willing, I'm going to go over here. And I always thought about that. He's always said, Lord willing. That's a good way to think. We ought to be considering God's will. If God wills, we will do this or that. So do you seek for God's will? God foreordained in Ephesians 2:10 that we are to be his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. So God has ordained certain things about your life. That you live a life of good works. Now good works don't save you, but that should be the evidence of salvation. That we live a life that brings honor and glory to our Lord. What was the sin of these boastful businessmen James was talking about? It's not that they've got a girlfriend waiting in another city. It's not that they plan to live an immoral life there. It's not that they plan to be dishonest in their business. No, it's simply that they had left God out. Left God out of their plans, out of their goals. What tomorrow holds is all up to God. He's the one in charge of all these things. He's in charge of what's going to happen, how things are going to turn out. He is telling us that if there be a tomorrow, that's all up to him. He's the one not only in control of what happens, but whether there even be a tomorrow. Let's ask ourselves, looking back over the last year, did you use that year wisely? Did you use it wisely? Is there some things you wish you could go back and change? Are there times, many times, you rob God of his day of worship? Now, is that wise to do that? To rob God of his tithes and offerings, is that wise to do that? Turning down opportunities to serve in your church because I ain't got time. I ain't got time. Is that wise? You plan to do that again this year? Some of you look convicted. Are we using our time wisely? Doing what God wants us to do? You say, well, Brother West, how do I know what God wants me to do? Let's check this one out. What this is, this is God's instruction book. Here's God's instructions for how we are to live our lives. Now, if you want to know God's will, it's right here. God's will has been revealed to us, folks. You don't have to wonder about it. You don't have to guess at it. It's right here. That's why you need to be in every service you possibly can be in 2023, because we're going to share with you God's word. Every time you come, we're going to show you, thus saith the Lord. And you're going to know God's will for your life. So I encourage you, come every service. Don't be contented. Just, my wife pointed out a while back that in an average month, we've got 16 opportunities to be in service. If you count Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, four times a week, 4 weeks, at 16 times, you have an opportunity to be here. Some of you do good to do three of those 16 or four. And you think that's good enough. Now, you need to be here every service. Seriously. Every time the doors open, you ought to be here. Because we're going to share with you what God has to say. And how God will help you in making decisions in your life. Come seeking for God's will. Secondly, submit to God's will. Our attitude ought to be, if the Lord will, we shall do this or that. Now, you know, knowing God's will is not really the problem for most of us. Most of us know God's will. We just won't submit to it. Now, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about these other people. See, they don't submit to God's will like we do. Amen. Now, God wants you to understand his will. A child can know the will of his father, but not understand it. Right? He may know the what of the matter, but not the why of the matter. See, that comes with spiritual maturity. As you mature spiritually, you will begin to understand more and more about why God wants us to do certain things. Write down this verse, Ephesians 6:6. Paul said to minister to others, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ. Now notice this, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Think about Jonah. Jonah knew God's will to go to Nineveh and preach. But he didn't want to do God's will, did he? He ran away from God. He finally obeyed after he got a good whipping. But he didn't obey God cheerfully, did he? When God brought revival to Nineveh, Jonah pouted about it. Because these were the enemies of Israel. He wanted God to judge them, not save them. They obeyed God's will, but not cheerfully. See, God wants you to obey his will cheerfully. Amen. I heard about a guy who had a motorcycle, and he was riding his motorcycle on a country road, and he saw his preacher out in the front yard, and he stopped to say hi to the preacher. And the preacher said, "Where are you going?" He said, "Well, I'm going to go into town, and I'm going to sell this motorcycle." Preacher had been reading James, I guess. He said, "You know, you ought to say, I'm going to sell my motorcycle if it be God's will." The biker said, "Well, no, I'm going to sell my bike whether it's God's will or not." And he roared off. Later in the day, the same man comes staggering down that country road. The preacher sees him. He's all tore up. His clothes are tore up, and his knees are skinned, his arms in a sling. He's just all bruised and bloodied. The preacher said, "What in the world happened to you?" He said, "Well, after I left you, a big storm came up, and I tried to outrun it. I was going around a curve, and I hit some loose gravel, and my bike slid out from under me. I skidded about 100 feet on the pavement. I managed to walk to a nearby farmhouse, but the woman was frightened when she saw me coming, and she began to shoot at me with a shotgun. I took off running through the briars and brush and got all caught up, cut up. And finally, I stopped to pick the buckshot out of my rear end, and lightning struck a tree and a big limb fell on me." Preacher, "Where are you going now?" So "I'm going home, if the Lord wills." He learned his lesson, didn't he? God willing, we'll do this or that. Since we're going to meet the Lord one day, don't you think it's wise to live according to his will so we can stand before him with confidence, not be ashamed to stand before him? Describing these merchants and those who think like they do, he calls them boasters of what they're going to do. Since we don't know what tomorrow holds or if there's going to be a tomorrow, all such boasting is foolish. So verse 17 is a key verse. Therefore, to know, for him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's a sin. That's true of all of us. We all know to do good, and yet we choose not to. We choose to disobey God's will. You know, we call that a sin of omission. There's a sin of omission, just not doing what God wants you to do. You've heard in the Bible it says, be sure your sin will find you out. You've all heard that, haven't you? Be sure your sin will find you. Do you know what that's about? Moses said that to two tribes when they came to the Jordan River to cross over to possess Canaan land. Two tribes said, we're going to stay on this side of the river. Y'all go ahead. We like it over here. Moses said, no, you're going with us. You're going to help your brethren possess their land. Then you can come back and possess this land. And he said, if you don't, be sure your sin will find you out. What sin? Be a sin of omission, wouldn't it? Just not doing what they should be doing. And all of us can be guilty of that. Are there things we should be doing we're not doing? Now, what are you going to do with this new year? What are you going to do with it? You know, we are what we are today because of the decisions we made yesterday. You know that? God's given us the power to think, the power to plan and choose, but we need his wisdom to do so. See, this year, there's times you're going to decide whether to be happy or sad. Right? You're going to decide whether to help or hinder, to pray or curse. Right? To act or procrastinate, to obey or disobey. You're going to face those decisions throughout this coming year. Choose wisely. Let God lead you. As we stand, we had this hymn of invitation. Lost friend, if we have any here that's lost, let me speak to you for a moment. Don't put off being saved. A lot of people, they don't just out and out reject Jesus. They want to put it off. They want to live and do what they want to do for now. And someday, get saved. That's dangerous. It's dangerous to put off salvation. If I was offered $1 billion to set aside my salvation for just 24 hours, I would not do it. I would not risk dying in that 24-hour period without Christ, without hope. It'd be too dangerous to risk the chance of dying and going to hell. If you're not saved, and you're trying to put off your salvation, I want to tell you something. Hell is full of people that did the very same thing. Hell is full of people that were going to get saved one day, but they kept putting it off and putting it off. And death came and they were not ready. So if you're not saved, I encourage you, come and accept Christ as your Savior today.